I don't remember exactly when it happened. Sometime in my teenage years, the roles around decorating in the Hoffman household began to change and eventually turned over completely. You see, my sister did and still does love to decorate for Christmas. So at some point, once we got to the age where we could handle doing it ourselves, my mother handed over the task of decorating our Christmas tree every year to her, and of course, since she was doing it, I was there with her. This, by the way, is where my love of vinyl records began, because whenever we would start decorating the Christmas tree, it was the only time of the year, as I was growing up, that I can remember at least, that we would open up the record player, and we would take out the old Christmas records, and we'd put them on while we decorated the Christmas tree, so we could hear the old voices, the Barbra Streisands and the Nat King Coles, singing with the cracks and the pops and the white noise. So we would decorate the Christmas tree, my sister and I, and at first my mother would help, but over a couple of years, when she realized we were doing okay, she stepped away entirely and it became our project. And that continued all the way through the time that I continued to live at home, and my sister, even when she would come home from Christmas break from college, she and I would do that together. Which meant that my mother was left doing the thing that she loved the most of all in that whole process, which was undecorating for Christmas. So after Christmas was over, my mother would take to a flurry to the household, getting all of the things that were Christmassy, including the tree and all the ornaments, down and put away. This would usually happen, to my recollection, the first day we were back in school. We would leave in the morning and get on the bus, and it would have been Christmas at home. And then we'd get home, and there would be absolutely no sign of Christmas left in our house at that point. My mother took great joy in shutting Christmas down in the Hoffman household eventually. I got the feeling over time that the 12 days of Christmas were about 11 too many for my mother. She was perfectly happy getting the house back to the state that it had been in previously and getting back to our routine and moving on to the next thing. Some of you may be feeling the same way, ready to put Christmas 2015 behind you and move into this new year. I even saw a post on Facebook the other day that read something to the effect of, it's 363 days until Christmas, and some people already have their trees up. While others of you may be clinging to Christmas until you are forced to give it up. Schools reopening tomorrow and vacations ending for many will signal the end for Christmas for most of us. Of course, Christmas isn't really over just yet. The 12 days of Christmas start with Christmas Day, of course. They don't end on Christmas Day. And so the season of Christmas marches inexorably to this coming Wednesday, when we mark and celebrate the lesser-known holiday of Epiphany, which is the time we officially commemorate the visit of the Magi, or the wise men, to Jesus. On Epiphany, Christmas officially draws to a close, and the Christmas purists will wait until then to take down the trappings of the season. Though even the purists may be a bit off there as well, not in taking down the trees and the holly, but rather in assuming that Christmas is over at all. As the poem entitled Holding, written by Ann Weems, which I read during worship at the 5 o'clock service on Christmas Eve, posits, the world mutters, be realistic. And sometimes we church people mutter too. On our way back from Bethlehem, sometimes we forget that we've been warned about what we've been warned about in a dream to return another way. Once we've seen the child, we're left holding hearts wherein angels dance and stars sing. Once we've been to Bethlehem, every day is Christmas. Every day is Christmas. And of course, in a way, Ms. Weems is right. Every day is Christmas. The day that we welcome Christ into the world and into our lives. Each morning is Christmas morning. And each night, then, is filled with the excitement of Christmas Eve. At least it is when we open our eyes and our hearts to who Jesus really is and what Jesus means for us and for our world. Every day is Christmas. Of course, what you mean when you call it Christmas means everything. And for me, it is helpful to turn to yet another poem, this one written by Howard Thurman, an influential African-American author, philosopher, theologian, educator, and civil rights leader. Thurman was dean of chapel at Howard University and Boston University for more than two decades. He wrote 21 books and in 1944 helped found a multicultural church. Thurman, along with Mordecai Johnson and Vernon Johns, was considered one of the three greatest African-American preachers in the early 20th century. In his book entitled The Mood of Christmas, he includes the following poem, which he entitled The Work of Christmas. When the song of angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart. And that is how I interpret Ann Wiem's claim that every day is Christmas. In that every day is a day to welcome Christ by doing what Christ came to do and encourages us to do. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart. We don't get Christmas, I don't believe, if we think of it simply as a quaint holiday to celebrate the birth of a baby, no matter how remarkable that baby, and to mimic the Magi by bringing gifts. We don't get Christmas if it is simply seen as a time to gather with family and friends, eat our fill, and take a break from our daily labors. We don't get Christmas if we get lost in dressing up and going to church, the singing of the songs, and the lighting of candles. Because Christmas is so much more than one night, or one morning, or 12 days even. There is so much more beyond the birth, and Thurman's poem reminds us of that. The work of Christmas begins when the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks. And of course, who is left to do that work but us, the Christmas people, the ones who are called to make straight the pathway? And that work begins right here, and right now. On the page opposite the work of Christmas, Thurman offers a poem entitled, I Will Sing a New Song. I will sing a new song. The old song of my spirit has wearied itself out. It has long ago been learned by heart. It repeats itself over and over, bringing no added joy to my days or lift to my spirit. I will sing a new song. I must learn the new song for the new needs. I must fashion new words born of all the new growth of my life, of my mind, of my spirit. I must prepare for new melodies that have never been mine before, that all that is within me may lift my voice unto God. Therefore, I shall rejoice with each new day and delight my spirit in each fresh unfolding. I will sing this day a new song unto the Lord. We sing together a new song unto the Lord right here. And of course, that is just the beginning. For to be about the real work of Christmas, we cannot, we must not stay here. We must go forth to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart. All of that happens out there, beyond these walls and beyond these doors, in the highways and in the byways, in our neighborhoods, our schools, and our workplaces, through volunteers and through policies, with our hands and feet and pocketbooks. Beyond the birth is where we find the true meaning of Christmas, I believe. John knew that, which is why his gospel begins in such a cosmic way. No shepherds, no manger, no, not even an angel, but rather light and darkness, and life and the Word made flesh, and the law and grace. From the very beginning, Christmas has been about so much more than a baby born in a stable, a young mother and a faithful father. It has been and still is about God breaking into our world in the most astonishing way, bringing light and life and grace, turning the world on its head, sending the Son to seek and save the lost and to call others to do the same. The Christmas season may be drawing to a close in a few short days, but then the true work begins. To live each day as if it is Christmas, filled with hope and promise and opportunities to be the body of Christ in this world. Jesus Christ came into this world to show us the way of God, the way of love and concern for our neighbors, all of our neighbors. Not simply to lay in a manger so that we could oo and aah at a baby. Christmas continues when we find the lost and heal the broken and feed the hungry and release the prisoner and rebuild the nations and bring peace among people and make music in the heart. And we can do any and we can do all of those every single day. Merry Christmas, this day, and every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.